100 Word Stories. Good morning. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast, One A Day Until The Day I Die.com. Weekly challenge, I post a topic, you come up with a story. Topic is mess. Oh boy, do we have a mess of stories. I think you're going to like them. But first, before we get to that, it's Sunday. You know, you're supposed to rest. No. There are people out there running around in circles. I'm a marathon runner. Okay, it used to be that the marathon would trap us in here, in this little urban paradise at the confluence of, Southwest Freeway and the Loop. We're this little pocket neighborhood here. It almost sounds like you can hear the ocean. No, that's just traffic. And, occasionally hear ambulances, you know, as if there'd be an ambulance on the sea. But the marathon, the route, for the longest time would trap us in here. It would go north along Newcastle to the freeway, under the freeway, and then to the little zoop, you know, corner feeder that would get them to the joggers off to Richmond. And this would completely cut us off because the only way in was a one-way and then cut back around and sneak in through the vet hospital. But to get out, you couldn't get out that way. You had to go along Newcastle. So we were completely trapped in. And that was back in the time that I worked at 2600 Kirby at the crappy ISP pretending to be a web host. And I couldn't get out. And I would borrow my wife's truck on Sundays to go to work and then get back. And although I could have walked. And these were days that I had to walk, and it was like 40 minutes walk. Now we know that's nothing. You know, now that I'm walking an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon on the treadmill, although before that, I was doing 5 to 7 miles a day, you know, in the morning, between bus stops, and then I'd walk for lunch hour around the tunnels, and then walking home, I would drop myself off at Westheimer and I think Shepherd, and that would be 3 miles walk home. So, yeah, it added up. You always walk when you strain yourself. But then I get lazy and tired, and oh, God, this day sucked. And shorter and shorter and shorter. And right when I was about to hit my goal, I was like, oh, Nardo's sick. And I never got around back to it. I got the bike. Hey, I'm going to bike home. Yeah, actually, yeah, that really worked. So the treadmill has been an absolute godsend. And, you know, I got stuck at 245 pounds, sister-in-law, blah, blah, blah. You know the bitching. You know the story. And I got out of that rut. And I wailed back up to like 248, 247 at the beginning of January when I got serious again about the walking. And we'll see if, well, I'm going to do the walking after I finish this crap. And then I'll put it together and then I'll do the walk. I'm not wasting your time with rambling on a treadmill and it sounds like garbage. Now it just sounds like recycling. And we'll get it done. We'll get these stories done. So that's a little peek into my life. Oh, and I got a promotion, by the way. Now I'm a technical writer too, as opposed to not having a Roman numeral at all. The boss decided, we need Roman numerals. And so, okay. And it took forever to figure out what they meant. Well, I don't know. Two I's mean two. Three I's mean three. Lawyers. So, yeah, I'm a two now. Now I'm supposed to mentor, or as I call it, dementoring. I'm like documentation marshal for the next release. So if everything's really fucked up, I'm the one they blame. And then they'll be like, hey, I was a docs marshal. I could be a product owner. No, it will never happen. don't get me started on that. By the way, all the while that I've been rambling to you, Tinny has been on my left shoulder here. He's been such a huggy cat. Yes, you are. You're such a good girl. She's just asleep. She doesn't care. Tinny don't care. She just wants to be hugged on. Yes. Okay. So, let's get started with the stories. The first one is John Musico. And if you want to suffer through more of my rambling and bullshit, I don't really do much during the daily stories, but I will ramble and bullshit when I do the live readings of the newest stories on Sunday in that Second Life thing. So you don't have to admit that you're doing it. Just, you know, create a stupid newbie. And if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, you'd better learn fast. I'm not going to teach you how to use voice. I'm not going to teach you how to dress all pretty. Just leave me the fuck alone. In fact, forget I ever said that crap, okay? You know, just suffer through this stuff. Ready for the stories? Here we go.
Mess by John Musico. To Felix, a mess is a big deal, the biggest. He can't relax in a room until it's tidy. Most people's nightmares are about being chased by wild animals, falling off a cliff, or the like. Real legit danger. His nightmares have to do with a mess. For example, he lives in a house that's a mess, or his hair's all messed up, that sort of thing. Felix was ashamed it was some sort of sex phobia. Felix's psychiatrist clarified, "That's a dirt thing. You have order issues, see? It's control, really." Felix is still tidy, but finally at peace.
Greetings, Clockwork Ninjas. Mumsy here, coming at you like a mongoose. Like a mongoose. Like a no, that isn't working. Coming at you like a mongoose is a terrible catchphrase. Let's all pretend I never tried it. Good? Good. Cleaning Up by Christopher Monroe. Another fine mess you've gotten us into. I suppose you expect me to bail you out? Fine. Bring the bone saw, fetch a rug, I'll dismember the corpse and we can dispose of it at the quarry, before coming back to scrub the blood out of the carpet and walls. Make sure nobody sees you. There's no reason for us to be here, so if no trace is found, no one will suspect, and in a few hours we'll be home enjoying a scotch. But seriously, this is the last time I'm doing this. I can't clean up your messes forever. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's it for me, my Clockwork Ninjas, and I look forward to talking to you again next week, like a mongoose. Huh. That never does get any better.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 456 on the topic of mess. I've got two stories. My first one is called Another Nice Mess. Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy found themselves lost in the Iraqi desert. After walking for miles, they saw tents in the distance. At last, civilization! They crawled under a barbed wire fence, where the portly Hardy lost his bowler hat, and peeked into the first tent they came to. The pair was surprised to see a military kitchen, with dozens of spotless cooking instruments, from stainless steel pots to ladles of all sizes. Startled by the click of automatic weapons, they turned to face a half dozen machine gun barrels. Laurel said to Hardy, "Well, this is another nice mess you've gotten us into." Okay, no more bad puns, at least not this week. My second story is called Why I Tore Up the Adoption Papers. I opened the pantry door to see a carton of milk I placed there by mistake. One sniff is enough for me to know I hadn't done so recently. Wondering what took the place of the milk, I opened the refrigerator. Sure enough, there's a pair of dirty socks. The washing machine turns out to be where I've placed a library book. The book's spot in the den has a box of dog biscuits in it, which confuses me until I recall I agreed to do a dog sit for a neighbor. Say, where is the dog anyway? I peer into the dog's crate, which contains nothing but a thawed bag of once-frozen corn. Uh-oh. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Hello, this is Richard. Good evening. Yes, good evening. It is evening here, and if it's not evening there, then sort yourselves out. Why should I have to do all these things for you? Two stories this week on the subject of mess. First up is George's story, part 89. Still waiting. Faced with an unresponsive companion, George was forced to concede that there was little else to do other than wait. Other what for? He had no idea. As the minutes stretched out, he found himself asking how on earth he'd managed to get into such a mess. His memories prior to waking at the hospital were still patchy at best, and as for the circumstances leading up to that turning point in his life, other than the words car accident gleaned from the hospital notes, he couldn't even surmise about what had occurred. Bored and tired, George closed his eyes. And my second and final story is called Eton Mess. The crowning glory of my dinner party was the dessert, my stunning coup de grace, Eton Mess. A wonderful concoction of whipped cream, strawberries, and crumbled meringue, lovingly folded together harmoniously to form a gloriously beguiling and deliciously wicked finale to the evening's culinary pleasures. It went down an absolute treat, impressing everyone. As I closed the door behind the last departing diner, I breathed a sigh of relief and reflected on the evening's proceedings. Shame about the pavlova, I thought, but scooped off the floor and served with a flourish, nobody even noticed. Eaten mess. My arse. Well, I guess that's it, so once again I bid you good morning. Until next week, goodbye.
Hi, everybody. This is Jessica Quinn. I hope everybody had a wonderful week. I have two stories for this week's challenge of mess. And the first is called Don Foyer. Don Foyer headed into the hotel shower. He carefully placed his towel on the hook, taking extra care not to let it touch anything. He left his slippers on because he wouldn't dare touch the floor. He couldn't, no, wouldn't allow the germs to touch him. How vile, disgusting. On the other side of the city, one man squeezed through the door that only opened slightly. He reemerged gagging and shaking his head. The other men pushed through to find a mess of garbage. The stench insufferable. Maggots crawled on the mail pile at the door. Don Foyer, eviction notice. My next story is called Obsession. Josh hardly knew her, but she declared her love anyway. What was her obsession with him? First time, he saw her in the car outside his job. Then the store, the bar, and finally, under the darkness of his living room. "Say you want me too!" Josh heard the crazed sound in her voice. He moved quickly towards his gun in the basket above the TV. She took her aim in the darkness and pulled the trigger. Shots rang out. Ouch! The burning. His side was hurting. He looked over. She wasn't moving. How did I get into this mess?
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here. This is my story for this week. When he woke up, the TV was on and he saw his face splattered all over the news. The previous night was a total blur, and the woman slumped on the couch of this unfamiliar living room remained eerily silent. He wore nothing but a black t-shirt. Slightly embarrassed for being half naked, he mumbled an apology and dashed for the door, holding his pants. "Don't worry," he heard, but it wasn't the woman's voice. Her head rolled to a halt by his feet. "At least I got rid of one of them," he thought. Yes, one voice at a time. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com. And I'll talk to you next week. Wait. I forgot something. Before I wrap up, I'd like to invite you to a write-in I host as part of the activities of the Virtual Writers Group. It takes place in Milkwood and Second Life. Saturdays, noon, Second Life time, Pacific, which is 8 p.m. Portugal and UK time. And this is a great opportunity to create a weekly writing or revising routine at the weekend, something which is not often possible throughout the week because we're all so busy. We are fortunate to gather an eclectic and very friendly group of people working on different types of material. Some people work on long fiction, others on short fiction, poetry, blog posts. And the idea is to write for 30 minutes and reach the 500-word count. To help a little bit, in case you're not feeling inspired, I provide a prompt, which is obviously optional. Now, unlike other events of the same type, we focus on the writing. Any chat about writers, writing, revising, editing is welcome, of course, but definitely not a must. If you prefer to keep your writing to yourself, that is perfectly fine. So join us in Milkwood, noon, Second Life time, Pacific, 8 p.m. Portugal, UK time, Saturdays. I'll be happy to welcome you. And that's it from me this week. I'll have a brand new story for you next week. Oh, God. The torture. Okay. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Crime scene. Accident, or just a simple corpse, moldering in an empty house, until the neighbors notice the smell. Things like that leave one hell of a mess, and somebody has to clean it up, and that's where I come in. Blood, fluids, bones, hair, and rotting organs are my stock in trade. I back them up, scrub away the stains, and you'd never know anything had occurred. From unholy mess to pristine clean, I take pride in my job. And as for all those bits I take away? What do you think is inside your microwave lasagna?
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got two stories tonight. The first, talking about my generation. Each generation strives to create its own unique lexiconic toolbox, emboldening a group of words with hypercontext. Those of my gen were rather fond of the word mess. It was used as a non-specific sum, as in, I have a mess of comic books. And with the modifier stuff having even less specificness, as in, I got a mess of stuff for Christmas. It served to note aimless, non-productive enterprise as we were just messing around. Yet, in the proper setting, it described a critical interaction as in, don't mess with me, or man, you're messed up. And story 2, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 85. Elsid removed the paper and handed it to Timmy. Unconsciously, Master Parsons said, "Who is Laura Lynn Parker?" The dealer immediately started writing the following. Daughter of Texas billionaire Titus Parker. Texas sharpshooter of the year, 1956. Wife of Republican Governor Ronald James. Elsid chuckled. Seems JFK got popped for messing with the wrong Texas Deb. That was disappointing, said Tim. Try something real hard, prodded the bandit. Why did my father have to die? The dealer's face changed from serene to puzzled to sad, wrote the following. Poindexter. Timothy Parsons' godfather? Asked the lad. And that's it.
Hello, it's Anima with my submission for Weekly Challenge 456, Major Tom. The noise is the first thing I notice. Entering the mess hall, there's silverware clanging, laughter and conversation, news feeds blaring and boots stomping on the planking. The din is overwhelming to me, so recently released from isolation training. 60 days alone in some netherworld sub-basement quarters at NASA. Someone is standing by me, but I'm having a tough time focusing. Huh? Sorry? What? I asked you, how do you feel about your upcoming mission? Isn't it a bit controversial, searching for life forms in outer space? What does your wife... I mutter, I can't wait to leave this behind. Thank you very much. We will see you next week.
Across America, starting at...
You are now tuned to Channel Spate, where Spate provides 100 words that may reflect his views but not necessarily the views of this esteemed podcast. For Weekly Challenge 456, with the topic of mess, here's a story called, Messy Business. Let's get down to it now.
Six years of dogging every imagined impropriety. 6 years of oversight hearings and special investigations. 6 years watching them audaciously shrug off scandal after scandal. Now finally we have them by their slippery golf balls. Any mess of their own making and by their own admission, nobody of importance was sent. Bigger than Benghazi, stickier than some kid's lemonade stand being targeted by the IRS. Why not go to Paris? I'm sure the Secret Service was up for a trip to the City of Love. Hold the ketchup. Don't call my French fries freedom fries. They are Charlie fries.
Well, that's it. Thank you for listening, and thank you Lawrence for hosting. I hope you have a good week, but watch out for those semicolons. Until next time.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 456 with a prompt of mess. Just a reminder, Monday the 26th, you can get Fly Paperboy Coming of Age for 99 cents, or the paperback for $9.99. Better yet, since you may already have that, you can get Shooting Stars, a teenage vampire love story from a boy's perspective, also on Kindle for 99 cents, or the paperback for $9.99. That's for 2 days only, the 26th and 27th. If you haven't signed up to win the Kindle Fire HD 7. Go to my webpage, norvaljoe.com. Check the blog, and there should be a link there where you can go sign up to win a copy of Shooting Stars or the grand prize, a Kindle Fire HD 7. Anyway, here's my story. I've given it a name this week. I normally don't. But the name of my story is I Am Charlie. The prophet Mesmas Abush was a humble man. He taught his people to live lives of compassion and service for all people, believers and unbeliever alike. As an example of his humility, he insisted that no representation of his image should ever be made. Unfortunately, the alphabet of his people was hieroglyphic. As a result, his name was represented as a blank square. Over the centuries, the meaning of the blank square was lost. Ultimately, disciples of the nameless prophet interpreted the empty space to mean anyone to name the prophet should be smashed beneath a giant stone block. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tudor Brazoino here, squeaking in at the last moment, I hope, with a story on mess. We pwned the Hanover Messe this year, the largest trade show in the world. Their registrations ran on bog-standard windows, so we hacked ourselves a free booth for a fake company. Then we brought in crate loads of wired and wireless sniffers, cracking hardware, and storage. By the end, we downloaded the entire contents of 85% of the mobile phones that passed through, including Angela Merkel's, and had access to almost everything with a computer inside. We could have wrecked the industrial robots, but we only use our powers for good. Yes, that was another fine mess we got ourselves into.
Mother made a mess in the kitchen. Father made a mess in the family finances. Son made a mess of his school grades. Daughter made a mess of her relationship. Grandpa made a mess of the inheritance. Rover made a mess on the carpet. Baby made a mess on the wall with crayons. Thank goodness for their neighbor, Luigi. He made a mess of spaghetti and meatballs and garlic bread and called everyone over for a feast. They had a great dinner together and had a good time until Grandpa got drunk and talked about the war. Luigi stabbed him.
And there you have it. A bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of mess. I hope you enjoyed this week's weekly challenge, because every week is a challenge when you think about it. And you have to rise to the occasion. If the occasion is below you, you have to dig for the occasion. Rise, dig, it's all the same. So get a shovel, get some yeast, get ready for next week's weekly challenge. The topic is going to be, if you're happy and you know it, then you don't have to sing it. You don't have to. I'll see you all next week. I don't know what else to say. Links to the show notes, social networking, retweet, reshare, replus, retard. Do whatever. It's Sunday. Have some fun. But if you're one of these people doing the marathon thing, I used to call you a bunch of jogging jerks. Now that I can actually get out of here, I could have, I could have gone to Kroger, picked up all the stuff I wanted for mushroom rolls yesterday. No, I want to do it on Sunday, because I'm a little... Whatever. Thanks for listening. And as always...
kidding. What do you think? Meow, 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 meow.
I'm sorry. Keep it brief.